Rat Pack, where you at?
He's a freak. He's a fast killer. He's a fast killer.
What's going on? It's The Rant. It's Monday, July 22nd. I'm Jeff, and yes, he is the fastest kid alive. Got a big pod for you today. We're going to preview Green Bay and Houston. It looks like you guys have been really busy on the email front too, so I'll go into the mailbag here. Voicemails as well, so we got that later in the show. But I'm going to hit the ground running, dive right into the Green Bay Packers here. A team that last year was very young. You know, they entered the season as one of the youngest rosters in the NFL. They moved on from their franchise player, who had been their franchise player for essentially two decades, in Aaron Rodgers, and turned the keys over to Jordan Love. And honestly, it didn't start particularly well with Jordan Love. It didn't look like Jordan Love was going to be ready for primetime. Didn't look like he was a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And then over the second half of the season, that was the first half, and then over the second half of the season, not only did he look ready for primetime, it's fair to argue that he was playing some of the best football at quarterback in the entire NFL. He was tremendous. He was playing at an MVP caliber level. He wasn't the MVP, and I'm not going to make that argument. We know who the MVP was last year, but he played at that level. And now we take things from there. Jordan Love's a very interesting player, and he's surrounded by a lot of talent. Now, I'll get into the wide receiver situation in that they don't really have a clear number one in a moment, but let's just talk about Jordan Love first and foremost. You know, he tops 4,000 passing yards last year, 4,158. He did have 90 passing attempts of 20-plus air yards, which actually, that led the NFL. It accounted for 14.2% of his passing attempts. He had 11 touchdowns on those deep balls. So any ball that travels at least 20 air yards, we're going to call a deep ball throw. That was tied for second. I mean, that's upside. That's really what that boils down to. When I talk about air yards, I know you're not in a points per air yards league. Duh, that's stating the obvious. Why I talk about it is, you know, air yards means upside. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for ceiling with these guys. Ideally, every player would have a massive floor and a massive ceiling, but that's not going to happen. So if anything, I do want to look for ceiling first and foremost at really every position. But quarterback, it's very helpful if the guy has a nice ceiling. Jordan Love has that ceiling. I mean, we know that. But the question is, will he be viable to draft this year? Or is he going to go too early? And honestly, he's a cusper. He's like right on the edge. So if Jordan Love makes it to round 10, I, of course, would strongly consider drafting him. And if I drafted Jordan Love, I'm not going safe and upside, by the way, to folks who like my late round approach, because I really wouldn't. I feel like I wouldn't need it there. I wouldn't need to swing for the fences because I kind of hit on him. I got value because really he's probably not going to make it to the 10th round. I mean, let's be honest. I have him as quarterback 10. I think that's exactly where he's going in ADP. Currently in ADP, he's not making it to the 10th round. And so like if you're drafting on a commissioner platform, like you're actually drafting on ESPN or Yahoo or Sleeper or whatever, he's not going to get there. You know, he's just not. Like that ADP will heavily impact what your opponents do in drafts. Those who don't prepare can lean on ADP, so he's just not going to get there. But if you're drafting in a home league where there's no, you know, you're just putting stickers on boards, you know, old school style, weird things happen. Players who wouldn't fall on that commissioner platform, they sometimes do fall. And we've all been there. Like if you draft in home leagues that way, and I know some of the listeners may not, but if you do that, right, you've seen it. Like we wonder, like, why is this guy falling? You know, what's happening? Did I miss some news? Like we've all had those experiences. So I don't want to rule out Jordan Love falling to the 10th in a home league. I don't expect it to happen, but yes, I would draft him. And no, I would not be drafting a second quarterback. And remember, there's no such thing as a backup quarterback in fantasy football. It's your second quarterback. It's basically the guy who you're not starting. He's not your backup. You cannot replace your starter with the backup in the middle of a game. So he's your second quarterback. If I draft Jordan Love, I don't need a second quarterback. So let's talk about the wide receivers here, because this has been, you know, big deal has kind of been made about it. If you a couple months ago, it was like 2 months ago where they said, we really don't have a number one receiver. And it's true. They really don't. You know, they have four wide receivers who could be viable. You have Christian Watson, you have Jaden Reed, you have Romeo Doubs, you have Dontavian Wicks. And Dontavian Wicks, let's not, you know, let's not undersell what he did last year. Now, not massive numbers. If you just looked at the box score, 39 catches, 584 touchdowns. Okay, whatever. But there were times there when Watson was banged up, which is an annual occurrence seemingly now, where Dontayvion Wicks looked pretty freaking good. So, you know, as of right now, I'm not looking at him as a redraft option. He is a best ball option. You know, especially if I have a Jordan Love stack going, you can get Dontayvion Wicks very cheap. You get him much cheaper than Watson and Reed, and cheaper than Romeo Doubs as well. So there, yes. In heading into the season, though, no. You know, I'd be looking more at the other guys and just have Wicks on a watch list in case he does happen to crack the top three. But let's talk about the top three, because the ball is going to get spread around a little bit. They do have viable tight ends as well, and I'll get to those guys in a minute. So what's the order here? You know, is there a clear-cut guy? No. Right now, I have Jaden Reed at 37, Christian Watson at 41, Romeo Doubs at 49. So they're all top 50 guys, but none of them crack wide receiver three territory. That's wide receiver number 36 in rankings would be a wide receiver three, 25 to 36. They're wide receiver threes. So they're all on the outside looking in. And so the moral there is each one of these guys offers, well, slightly different profiles, right? Jaden Reed has that, you know, more, I don't want to use gadget. Sometimes gadget player is used in like a derogatory way. He's a gadget player, but it's not in a bad way because he can do so many different things for you. Watson, we know, downfield, red zone. And then Doubs is more, you know, your kind of your classic X in a lot of ways, but with a more limited profile. So they're offering different things. But I think the biggest challenge for this wide receiver group for fantasy purposes this year is that since there isn't a one, the team is acknowledging there isn't a one, the ball is going to get spread around. And that's going to mean inconsistency week over week. Like, you could have a Christian Watson week where the guy has like five catches for $168, $160, you know, and two touchdowns. And then he could go a classic, like old school Mike Evans profile where, and then the next week he has a catch for 12 yards, right? And it's maddening for a lot of fantasy managers. Romeo Doubs doesn't quite have that ceiling, but he does have the same floor. Same, you know, Reed has a higher ceiling than Doubs, but the floor is there as well. It's very, very low. So my advice on Green Bay, if you're a fantasy manager who cannot handle those swings, like if Gabe Davis is your nemesis, probably just avoid these guys. If you're okay with that, if you're okay with swinging for the fences and you know there's going to be down weeks along the way and you're not going to lose your mind in week five if it's a down week, then grab one of them. I would say one of them. In best ball, yes, you can do multiple player stacks with Jordan Love. You could have Watson, Reed, and then even Wicks later on. Sure. But in redraft, having more than one of these guys will inevitably lead to one situation that many of us have experienced in the past, and it is super frustrating. That is, say you have Reed and Watson, or you have Watson and Doubs, or whatever. Which one do you start this week? Let's say you started Watson. You know what's going to happen, right? Doubs is going off on your bench. You know that. You know it. Cosmically, it has to happen. So I would want to avoid that frustration. I wouldn't want that frustration. If I start Watson, he doesn't go off, well, at least I don't see his teammate going off on my bench. You know? So I'm only drafting one of these guys in redraft. And so that means if I land Reed, then yeah, I'm not looking at Watson. I'm not looking at Doubs and then so on. Let me talk about the tight ends quickly. So Luke Musgrave is here. He's a more of a move option. And you have Tucker Kraft. Now, this like flew under the radar. Tucker Kraft tore his pec in the offseason. He was bench pressing. Actually, what he said, he wasn't even putting up a lot of weight. I guess they were kind of like doing some speed reps or something. And yeah, tore his pec. So that's a bad injury that takes a lengthy amount of time to recover from. I don't know if he'll be ready for the start of the season. He started camp on PUP. He could come off of that at any point, but we'll keep an eye on him. And why that is important is he's a good red zone asset. He showed it last year as a red zone asset, as opposed to Musgrave, who, you know, Tucker Kraft had more touchdowns than Musgrave on basically, well, he only had two, but Musgrave had one. Musgrave, again, more of the move option. However, if Kraft isn't out there, then more potential work for Musgrave. He's not draftable for me because I don't like to take a late round approach. He's viable in the late rounds, but he is somebody who I'm going to keep a close eye on. Musgrave, that is, if Kraft is not ready for the start of the season. We could see a little bit more Musgrave, and that would mean he'd be streamable as a tight end option. Okay, the team also brought in Josh Jacobs. They gave Josh Jacobs a really fascinating contract, too, which I think is really telling on what we can expect for this year. So Jacobs, technically speaking, if you look at the running back market and, you know, you go, I always use Over the Cap, but there's a couple sites that you can use for contract stuff. Jacobs technically is his fifth highest on average per year, $12 million average annual. The only players with higher numbers, McCaffrey, Kamara, Taylor, and Barkley. But if you look closer at the deal, something fascinating happens. So, yes, it is $12 million average annual. This year, his base salary is $1.2 million. He was given a prorated signing bonus of $12.5 million. The prorated signing bonus was the only thing in his contract that was guaranteed. So he got $12.5 million, and then he'll get an additional $1.2 million. And there's a couple, I guess he could, yeah, he can get an additional million on top of that with his roster bonus and workout bonus. But none of that is guaranteed. So there is no guarantees in the contract other than the signing bonus. No guarantees for next year. Certainly no guarantees for age 28, 29 seasons. In other words, the Packers could move on from him after this year and have no penalties against the salary cap doing so. In fact, gain room against the salary cap if they moved on from him after this year. What does that tell me? It tells me they're going to use him. They're going to run him into the ground this year. And yes, they have A.J. Dillon back. They did draft Marshawn Lloyd. And I think Marshawn Lloyd is an interesting player, but he is a handcuff. He is not the feature back here. Josh Jacobs will be the feature back. Josh Jacobs can handle a big workload. They've been talking about how to get the ball in his hands as a pass catcher as well. So there is a lot to like here about Jacobs. Now, I don't know if the efficiency is going to be particularly good, but I really don't care if he gets a lot of work. Currently ranking him as RB8. That does mean that Josh Jacobs could be an anchor running back. You may see Jacobs in the third round. You know, you may. He may go in the second round in one quarterback leagues, but you may see him in the third. I wouldn't hesitate. I have him. The only guys ahead of him, I have McCaffrey, Bijan, Brees. That's your elite group. Taylor, Gibbs, Barkley, and Kyren. And it's pretty close between him and Kyren, but I give the slight edge in terms of, you know, Kyren's got a little bit more efficiency, a little bit more juice there. He's earlier in his career, but it's pretty close. So there you go on Josh Jacobs. If I do get Jacobs, then I want to cuff him up with Marshawn Lloyd. Let's move over to one of the most exciting teams in the league, definitely an it team right now after last year, the Houston Texans, and a lot of that is due to the play of young C.J. Stroud. He surprised a lot of people last year. He was not the number one, and a whole bunch was made about, like, so the pre-draft test. So they don't do the Wonderlic anymore, which there's a host of problems with the Wonderlic. So they do these, like, basically almost like cognitive tests, and he didn't take it seriously. He was more focused on, like, the interview process and all of that at the combine, and he scored really poorly. And then people tried to make that out to be a knock against him, and obviously it wasn't a knock. This dude just loves football, and he's quite good at it. And he's coming off a 4,000-yard season as a rookie in the NFL at an incredibly tough position to play. He threw 5 interceptions, 23 passing touchdowns. Like, the numbers are awesome. The problem with C.J. Stroud, and it is a good problem, but it is a problem nonetheless. Everybody loves him. Like, you're not alone. If you love him, you're not alone. And every year there are players like this at quarterback, the sort of the darlings at the position. Stroud is really atop that list this year, which means there is no value you're getting with him. It would not surprise me if Stroud's off the board in a home league by the latest, maybe the 5th round, possibly the 6th, but you're not getting any value with him. It's not happening. It's just not going to happen. In Superflex, same thing. He'll go in the 1st round in Superflex. You're not getting any value with him. So unfortunately, that means I won't get exposure to him in redraft leagues. I do have him in best ball, of course. But in redraft leagues, I won't. He's going to go too early. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to get a piece of Stroud with whether it's Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell. It won't be Dalton Schultz, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But one of those wide receivers is how I would get a piece of him. And like the Packers, I'm only drafting one of them. Because also like the Packers, the ball is going to be spread around here. I mean, you do, as I mentioned, have Dalton Schultz. You also have Joe Mixon in the mix now, who is a very capable pass catcher. So one football and all of those mouths to feed. I'm not quite as high on the as the market is on Nico Collins because, well, again, one football. He's coming off a tremendous season, though. No doubt about it. But you have Diggs in the mix, and Tank Dell obviously is pretty darn good as well. So, you know, where do all the targets go? Who gets the targets? And I think they all do, but they don't all get them every single week. So that's the other thing that, you know, much like the Packers, it's like a more of like a souped up version of the Packers here in terms of the fantasy outlook, but it could be inconsistent. But as I said, incredibly productive season for Collins last year, really broke out in that third year. 80 catches, 1297, 8 touchdowns, averaged 3.1 yards per route run. He was over 3 for a season. That is an elite number. We've seen it happen 5 times in the last 5 years. Tyreek did it twice the last 2 years. Cooper Kupp did it in his Triple Crown season. Brandon Ayuk did it last year. Nico Collins did it last year. And Collins was more efficient than Ayuk. It's awesome. So we know high ceiling with him, reasonable floor, although, you know, last year at least, although this year with Diggs in the mix, that could lower the floor. So it is something to consider. I think he'll probably go before I'm willing to take him, and that's fine. But that does put Diggs and Dell much more in play for me. Now, Diggs really struggled down the stretch last year, and there is a fair question to be asked. At age 31, are these the signs of decline? Or is it something, you know, is it something else going on there? And I don't quite have an answer yet, but I am at least willing to admit, you know, there's some signs of it. I would still draft him, though. I don't love older receivers, but if you get him at the right value as a back end wide receiver too, I don't see any issue with it. Apparently, he's got good chemistry with Stroud. He's going to be pretty active in that offense, and he's still Stephon Diggs. So no issues there. Tank Dell coming back from injury. An injury that should have never happened. He shouldn't have been in on that play the way that he was. But regardless, explosive ability. We saw that last year. He, of course, has speed for days. Last year, he averaged 14.6 miles per hour on his routes. Only 7 qualifying receivers had faster number on their route average route speed. So all of that really bodes well. You know, maybe a little bit of a capped ceiling in terms of his, you know, just his role in the offense, but I don't even think like his, it's like the ceiling from the role kind of his upside almost negates it a little bit, if that makes sense. And he's probably the best value of the bunch as of right now, but he is going as the third one for a reason. So I have Collins at 18, Diggs at 20, Dell at 27. And again, I want one of them in redraft, not more than one. There are best ball rosters that I've put together where I have 2 of them. I have Collins and Diggs, where I have Diggs and Dell, and, you know, and then obviously trying to get Stroud in those. But here, I'm not getting Stroud. I want a little piece of him. I'm only willing to take on one in redraft. I mentioned Dalton Schultz. He's consistently going in that tight end dead zone for me. So after the second tier of tight ends, my tiers are up over at ftnfantasy.com. You can go check them out. They're free. But after that second tier is off the board, so Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, once those guys go, they're not the only guys in that tier, but they're like the bottom of the tier. Once they go, we're in a dead zone for me. So you're going to see Dalton Schultz go in that range. You're going to see like Jake Ferguson and David Njoku and Dallas Goedert, guys like that. It's just because their ceilings are more capped. And yes, David Njoku's ceiling is capped. I know I talked about this a little bit on the Cleveland preview, but how much of it was Flacco, you know? So anyway, I'm probably not getting any of Schultz outside of best ball based on where he's going. So let's move over to, I mentioned Joe Mixon is in the mix. We saw Devin Singletary have a pretty productive season, and it was surprising because he leapfrogged Damian Pierce in the pecking order. But there's going to be no surprises here. Joe Mixon's going to be the lead back. He's not young anymore. You know, this is his age 28 season. You can still be productive at 28 as a running back in the NFL. But let's be clear, and Bengals fans know this, Mixon isn't quite the same player at this point in his career as he was early in his career. And he's had a lengthy career. So that makes sense. The efficiency may not fully be there. Averaged 4 yards per carry last year, 3.9 the year before that. But here's the thing that I like about Mixon. He can still handle a big workload, top 300 touches last year, and he's going to be used heavily when they get down to the goal line region. Last year in 17 games, he had 21 goal line carries. That's freaking beautiful. I love that right there. Give me all the goal line carries. And it wasn't just last year. In 14 games in 2022, 17 goal line carries. In 16 games in 2021, 15 goal line carries. Those are elite numbers in terms of goal line usage. And if you're just coming into the podcast now and you're wondering, well, why is he talking about goal line carries? That's your best chance for converting touchdowns. And touchdowns are very important in fantasy football, as we know. So I don't mind Mixon whatsoever, but the problem is I don't quite have him in the anchor group. He's just outside the anchor group for me right now. I've met RB14. If I'm going to anchor with a guy, you know, I would rather have a little bit more bang for my buck than what Mixon is offering. And then the other problem, as I keep mentioning, is there's only one football there. So that's why he comes outside of it. I should say this, though. It's my anchor group. If your anchor group goes to Mixon, then fine. Like, you can adjust that. You know, this is just the strategy that I'm using. And all of this stuff is meant to be customized to your own personal preferences. Find what works best for you when you draft. I found what works best for me. I pass that along to you. Now find what works best for you, right? So if you wanted to move it, you can move it. I'm not, you know, I am not moving it beyond 12. Those are my anchor running backs. So is there a cuff to mix in? Yes, Damian Pierce. But I typically would not be cuffing RB14. It's a little bit too far down for me. I'm not investing as much in Joe Mixon. He's going around 4, so I'm not investing as much in Joe Mixon. So it really isn't really cuff worthy. So there you go. That is the Houston Texans. As I mentioned, you guys have been quite busy in terms of emails. So if you wanted to reach out via email, I did set this up for you. The email is therantpodjr@gmail.com. I know it's long, but for some reason, the rant was taken. The rant pod was taken. Rant pod was taken. I mean, everything was taken. Who takes these things, man? Anyway, let's check in on some of these emails. So Anthony is happy that the rant is back, and I appreciate that. He said he's telling all his boys about it. That I really appreciate. Don't keep this a secret, guys. Please don't be greedy with this podcast. Get as many people out there listening to it as possible so I can do more of this stuff. But either way, he doesn't like commercials from the radio show, so he said this thing's easier to listen to. It's a different experience on this podcast than the radio show, and I'm not really like doing the radio voice on the podcast either. So here, he said his question, do I have any idea if the almanac, so he's talking about Aaron Schatz' almanac over at ftnfantasy.com. If you don't know it, it's a statistical look at football. Every year he puts it out. This is the 20th year he put it out, and you can get it there. You can also get a physical copy on Amazon. He asks, is it going to come out in audio format? I really don't think so. It would be really lengthy. It's a long document. It's way bigger than my draft guide. I don't think so, Anthony. Unfortunately, I can talk to Aaron, but I don't think so. All right, let's move on to Andrew. He's title of this is a two quarterback league. He said it's a question about his home league. We struggle to find managers for their league, so it's only 8 managers in their league. Yeah, that can happen. Right now, their starting lineup is 2 quarterback, 3 wideout, 3 running back, a tight end, and a kicker. Why a kicker and not a defense? That's weird. Anyway, I would go the other way around. I'd rather have a defense than kicker, even though I hate team defense scoring. I don't hate team defense. I just hate the scoring system. But anyway, if you're listening right now and you hear 3 running back, yeah, it's an 8-team league, so you should go a little bit deeper. Each manager can keep 2 players as long as they were not drafted in the first 4 rounds of the previous year. So he says to make sure the top 32 are available. All right. His keepers this year are probably going to be Garrett Wilson and Devontae Smith. His available keepers for quarterback would be Lawrence and Cousins. He could draft those guys, though, because they'll be available. He's been struggling with drafting. He says, I've been taking 1 quarterback in the first round, a second one in the late rounds for the last 2 years, and his team has been mediocre, finishing 5th or 6th. Yeah, I can tell what you're getting at here. So don't draft a quarterback in the first round. And in fact, in an 8-team league, if you're required to start 2 quarterbacks, I'm going to guess that every team in the 8-team league is drafting 3. So that means that 24 quarterbacks will be drafted. That's it. 24 in this league. So you're getting down to like Will Levis, Geno Smith territory. Like, that's the range you're in. So wait. And in fact, we're in a 12-team league. I'm waiting till now it's 12 quarterbacks. At least 12 quarterbacks are drafted before I draft the position. Here, I would push that even further. I'd push it to like 16. Now, that does mean if some of the managers are keeping quarterbacks, they're off the board as well. They don't necessarily have to be drafted per se if they're kept. So I would just wait and wait and wait. And the thing I'm doing while I'm waiting is I am hammering wide receiver first and foremost. And then, you know, filling in the gaps with either a hero RB, which I call punt RB2, or a zero RB approach at running back. And then as soon as I see 16 quarterbacks, well, let's call it 15, because I have Trevor Lawrence as quarterback 16. So I think 15 is a fine number here. After 15 quarterbacks, at least 15 quarterbacks are off the board, then I'm going to draft the position. And I probably just kind of, in the next four or five rounds, I draft three of them. You know, so I'd make sure I get three. And it could be like this combination, like Lawrence, Goff. You could end up with like Will Levis, as I mentioned, or Deshaun Watson. There are a lot of interesting names there. And sure, you don't have Josh Allen, but what you have at wide receiver and running back is going to be so much more potent than your opponents. And think about it. In this league, you're starting six combined between wide receiver and running back. You're starting two quarterbacks. So you're starting three times as many combined wide receivers and running backs than you are quarterbacks. It's so much more important to be robust there. So I think that's probably where your draft strategy is going a little sideways. And it's a very correctable thing. I would just wait more at quarterback and wouldn't prioritize it as you have been in the past. So hopefully that helps you, Andrew. Frank checking in. He's got a keeper question. Okay, so number one, though, before you guys come in with keeper questions, and he may not be asking this, but remember, if you don't have to make your decision today, we're not making it today. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait until when we need to submit keepers. And it's not because I don't like keeper questions. I love them, but I love them in their own time. You know, I've said this a bunch in the offseason, like you don't take your final exam in week five of the semester. You still have 10 more weeks of the semester to go. You don't go out to breakfast and the server go, okay, well, what do you want for dinner? Like we're not there yet, right? That's the moral of the story. So keep that in mind because a lot can happen, especially with camp open now. A lot can happen between now and late August if you have to submit your keepers in late August. So he said he's a 14-teamer. They have no problem getting folks in their league. Keeper league, he said they're going into their 15th season. That's awesome. So he's narrowed it down to two guys and keep Saquon in the 13th or Pickens at 67th overall. Oh, 13th overall pick. Got it. We got to wait. I mean, that's my answer, Frank. Like, unless you, and if you're listening right now and you have to make this decision, you got to submit your keeper on July 22nd, then let me know. But if not, let's wait. And that will, I mean, it may end up nothing happens and fine. And then your decision is still the same. But one or both of these guys could get hurt. That's a simple reality here. And I think it's kind of putting the cart in front of the horse if we're actually doing this right now. And I know that's not a popular take, but believe me, there's a method to the madness here. Right now is not the time to make a keeper decision. Right now is the time to hone, you know, sharpen the sword in terms of your draft strategies, in terms of knowing all the players. Because honestly, like if you're studying the entire situations here, you'll probably find that the keeper decision makes itself at that point. But it's a really important thing, I'm telling you. Taylor is checking in saying, any NA beer recommendations for draft day? And Taylor obviously is paying attention because last year I was talking about this. So on draft day, I'm big IPA guy. I'm a beer drinker, bourbon drinker, whatever, you know, and I'll have a glass of wine every now and then too, but I, will not drink during drafts. So I drink non-alcoholic beers, and there are in the past, like the O'Doul's era, I would not have been doing that because that stuff is not good. Unless O'Doul's wants to sponsor this podcast, in which case, reach out to FTN and we'll be glad to try some O'Doul's. But the Athletics are typically what I'm going to these days. Sam Adams makes a pretty good one as well, just the haze. But I typically, you know, I love that the IPA that Athletic puts out. It's not watery. Honestly, if I gave it to you and didn't tell you it was a non-alcoholic, I don't think you know any difference. I have them always in my refrigerator because sometimes I want a beer, but I don't want a buzz, you know? And so those are what I go to on draft day. And simply put, the problem with drinking on draft day because it's fun, don't get me wrong, and I've done it in the past, is when the IPAs really start kicking in is really when you're in some of the most important parts of the draft, the middle and late rounds. Or any ding dong, you could draft well in the early rounds, even if you're borderline blackout drunk. I think you could still be fine. Maybe not. Maybe don't do that. But I don't want to be to that degree at all on draft day. I just want to be sharp. So I always have a beer waiting for the end. Crack a beer after the draft is over, but I don't want to drink during drafts. So yeah, that's usually what I would go to, is any of the athletics. They're all really good, Taylor. Good question right there. I still have a bunch of these in the hopper, so we'll get through these throughout the course of the week. I did want to update you too. So I'm at the FSGA conference in Boston. I'm actually in a hotel room while I'm recording this. And tomorrow is a busy day at the conference. So I'm not doing a Tuesday podcast this week. I'll do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll still get four in this week. Don't want to. I always want to do at least four of these unless I absolutely can't. So let me do one voicemail real quick here as well. So here's the voicemail.
Jeff, you're back. Got your swagger back. We're all excited. Welcome back. Longtime listener here. Quick question for you. As we start diving into the fantasy season, we're hearing all about what you got. What I want to know, take a step back here. What is your favorite spot draft from? At beginning, the end, the middle for this year's draft? I think the strategy and also where we're drafting is just as important. Let me know. Thanks so much. Austin from Cleveland.
Well, thank you, Austin from Cleveland. That, if you didn't hear it quite, he said, what's your favorite draft spot to pick from? And I know that longtime listeners of this podcast or of me in general already know my answer. My answer is one. It's always one. And let's not do the third round reversal conversation today. I'm just after Scott Fishbowl, I don't know if I can do that right now. But it's always one. Statistically speaking, you know, mathematically, you can assemble the most robust roster from one. And if it's not one, then it's two. And if it's not two, then it's three. The worst position for me is 12. And I'm not going to get cute with this. I'm not going to overthink it. The numbers prove it. You're going to be able to assemble, you know, the best caliber roster if you're picking first. And to the rebuttal, oh, well, you're picking last in the second. Well, yeah, but you're picking first in the third and so on. So I want the number one overall. Now, I'm going to disagree with strategy changing based on where you pick. I think that also is maybe overthinking it a little bit. My strategy can be used in any of the draft spots because it's really simple what you do in the beginning of the draft. What you're doing is essentially making your decision based on who's on the board in round one. And establishing your board and being totally comfortable with the order of your board so that whoever you pick, you're good with. And if you don't like the ordering, like sometimes people will complain about the ordering of like my rankings or whoever's, reorder it. Put it in the order you think it should be. I'm not saying that I'm right. My rankings are perfect. They're not perfect. I try to make them as good as possible, but they're not perfect. Nobody's going to have perfect rankings. So put it in the order that you see fit. But then when you're up, simply take the highest ranked guy. You know, if you're in the sixth spot and the first five guys in your rankings are gone, then you take the guy at number six. But sometimes number five falls to you, so you take him. And then that will impact what you do from there. And that doesn't change if you're picking at one, if you're picking at three, if you're picking at nine, if you're picking at 12. It doesn't matter where you are. So if I get the option, I'm always taking one. And if one's not available, I'm taking the next highest. If it's two or if it's three, and so on down. So it's a good question. I get it every single year, and I find that a lot of people overthink it. I try to not overthink a lot of things because it's an easy thing to do. It's very easy to overthink in fantasy football. If you want to reach out via email, therantpodjr@gmail.com. And if you want to leave a voicemail, it's 215-720-1708. All right, that's going to do it for today. So follow along with me on Twitter @JeffRatcliffe, on Instagram @JeffRatcliffe as well. Some people are pointing out yesterday on Twitter, I was wearing a Rat Pack shirt. Uh-oh. Are those available yet? No, but maybe, just maybe, they will be here soon. So go check that out on my Twitter, ftnfantasy.com. Promo code Rat Pack for 10% off. All right, I'm going to be back on Wednesday. No pod tomorrow, but I'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll continue on with the preview series. We're marching our way through these teams, and next up will be Indianapolis in Jacksonville. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.